I remember when I was a kid, my father had, nowadays, it's about the size of a smart car, but this was not a smart car, it was a rather stupid car, but it was the same size. It was a bright orange Horizon, and it broke down, or something had happened to it, and my father had to have it fixed. So what do you do when you're waiting for the car to be fixed? You have to get a rental. So my father wanted a rental the same size as the stupid car. And unfortunately, the rental place said, sorry, we don't have anything that size, but we'll give you something that we have. We'll give you something bigger for the same price. So we ended up for about a week with this Lincoln Town Car in the early 80s, which was about the size of a tank. It was 20 feet long and 10 feet wide, and I was in love with it. It was so exciting to have this Lincoln Town Car. It was like being driven around in a limousine for a week. And I remember when that week was over, being very, very sad that we had to return the Lincoln Town Car, even though I was very attached to the bright orange Horizon. And sure enough, eventually, the Horizon also met its end, and we had to find a new car. And I remember also, again, being very, very sad when you had to get rid of that car. It's an amazing thing. We have emotional attachments to inanimate objects. In Parshas Bo, we're told that Bnei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, they had a lot of things with them. They had a lot of gold and silver and clothing from the Mitzrayim. And they were chased out of Mitzrayim at the end of their Seder. And the Torah tells us, that the nation carried out their dough before it had a chance to rise. And then it adds, Misharoisam, Tsururois Besim Loisam Al Shechmam. Perak Yabez, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. What does it mean, Misharoisam? So it comes from the Sharish of Shar, it means leftovers. I know in general, Jews are very against leftovers. It comes probably from Korbanos. We know there's something called Noisar. You're not allowed to eat leftovers. But here they had leftovers. It's a Misharoisam. They had leftovers, tsururois, wrapped up, besimloisam, in their shirts, al shechmam, on their shoulders. What exactly is going on over here? Rashi says, misharoisam, the leftovers means shiori matzah umorer. The leftover pieces of matzah and morer from their seder, from the first seder ever in Mitzrayim. They had leftovers. Okay, what did they do? They wrapped up the leftovers and put them in a pekel, in a little wrapped-up shirt, and flung it over their shoulders. They're marching out of Mitzrayim with the leftover matzah and maror over their shoulders. What's pshat? They had donkeys, they had maybe wagons, they had all kinds of things, the wealth of Mitzrayim. Why are they carrying this? You know, you go to the zoo, you go on a trip with your kinderlach, and they decided they have to bring, you know, the 20-ounce bottle. They had to bring something very big. They wanted their food. They wanted this, that, and the other thing. They insist they have to bring it on the trip. What happens? As soon as they get interested in something else, Ima, Abba, could you please hold my... whatever. And you end up walking around the zoo holding this for your... you don't want to hold it. Put it in the stroller. I don't want to carry it around the zoo. They want to carry this all through the Midbar. They didn't want to carry the gold and the silver. Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to ask, please, please take all these things from Mitzrayim. I have to fulfill my promise to Avram Avinu that they're going to leave Mitzrayim with all kinds of wealth. So you have to leave with it. Please, please bring it with you. And here, they had even more. They have leftover matzah and maror. Put it on the donkey. Why do you have to carry it? Dr. Rashi, El Shechmam on their shoulders. Even though they brought all kinds of animals along with them that could have carried it. Mechabavim hayu es ha-mitzvah. Mechabav, what's mechabavim? So it comes, the same word as chabibi. Mechabav means they expressed, they demonstrated their love. They loved the mitzvah. They felt emotionally connected to the mitzvah. And because of that, they wanted to carry it. They weren't going to put it on the donkey. They weren't going to put it in the wagon. No way I'm putting it under the stroller. I'm holding this. I'm holding this close to my heart. This is the matzah from the Seder. Even the maror from the Seder. They wanted to hold themselves as they left Mitzrayim. There's a difference between kavod and chavivus ha-mitzvah. Kavod ha-mitzvah means that we have a chiyuv. We have an obligation to give a certain degree of kavod to a mitzvah. when we finish with an object of a mitzvah, the lulav, it's no longer sukkah. So what do you do with your lulav? So technically, you can throw it out, just not derech bizayon. You can't get rid of it in a way that's denigrating, that treats it like it's something that's not, because it was used for a mitzvah. So we have there's kavod for mitzvahs. So for example, a person goes past a mezuzah. So what are you supposed to do? So I hate to say this, but in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say you have to kiss a mezuzah. You're supposed to put your hand over the mezuzah. You're supposed to touch the mezuzah. You're supposed to remember that in a mezuzah it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Aleikeinu Hashem Echa V'ahavta Es Hashem Aleikecha. We're supposed to remember that every time we pass a mezuzah, you have to kiss it. Sefer Torah comes around the shul, comes close to you, comes within your Dalet Amos. So what are you supposed to do? So Shulchan Aruch said, you have to stand up, Sefer Torah. You have to escort the Sefer Torah. You have to kiss the Sefer Torah. Don't have to kiss the Sefer Torah. What's kissing the Sefer Torah? What's kissing the mezuzah? The answer is that's called chavivus hamitzvah. Chavivus hamitzvah means we love the mitzvah. We do certain things to express our love for the mitzvah. There's a difference between giving kavod and expressing our chavivus hamitzvah. When it comes to feeling love for mitzvahs, they're inanimate objects. But we have emotions for inanimate objects. We miss the car. We have emotion for inanimate objects. How does one get it? So on the one hand, a person that's doing mitzvahs, if he understands a little bit what a mitzvah is, there's going to be a degree of love. If he doesn't have any sense of love for the mitzvah, then he needs to reevaluate what a mitzvah is and what he thinks a mitzvah is. But most people understand mitzvahs are important. And they want to love mitzvahs. They really do want to love mitzvahs. So what does a person that wants to love mitzvahs do if he isn't really feeling the love for the mitzvahs? You know, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses kissing the tefillin shel rosh, because it should have been a hefsek. When a person puts on the shel yad, and then he's going to put on the shel rosh, we know a person is not allowed to make a hefsek in between the two. And he was asked the shaila, is it a hefsek to kiss the tefillin? He says, it's not considered a hefsek. So how much is the chavivus ha-mitzvah part and parcel of the mitzvah? How do I feel more love for the mitzvah? How do I give my tefillin a kiss and really love my tefillin? So the answer is, say all the Bali Musar, by kissing the tefillin, by kissing the mezuzah, by kissing the Sefer Torah. Emotions are cyclical. That a person does feel a degree of emotion and he wants to reach out, he wants to love. But then he has to do the ma'isa, he has to do the act that expresses his love. And by doing an action that expresses love, it builds more love within you. So when a person wants to love mitzvahs more, he has to do actions, he has to do behaviors of loving mitzvahs more. And when he does that, he's going to feel it more. There's a story that Rav Moshe Weinberger brings down in the Sefer that they published from his Shi'urim called Sparks from the Fire. And many years ago, of Galinsky, see, he heard this mice stray directly from the one that it involved, Rav Yitzchak Shlomo Unger of Bnei Brak. Rav Yitzchak Shlomo Unger was a great poseik of the previous generation, and it was about 30 years after World War II, and he was approached by a Hungarian yid with a shiloh that turned out not to be really much of a shiloh, more of a question. As you'll see. And this Hungarian Jew approached Rav Unger and he says, you know, many, many years ago, I was in Auschwitz. And I had a bunkmate, I had a board mate. As we know, there were 20 more that were shoved into every single bunk bed. So I was a Hungarian Yid and there was a young boy that was the descendant of Tzadikim. And somehow he managed to keep track of the days. And he turned to me and he says, you know, it's going to be Pesach in 2 days. He was able to keep track. And he said, I've never missed eating matzah on Pesach. We have no shortage of maror. Maror we have plenty of here in the camp. But where are we going to find matzah? So the Hungarian Yid was so moved by the chavivus ha-mitzvah of this boy. He decided somehow he's going to find a way to make two matzahs. And sure enough, They always manage to do this. No matter what, the Eden have incredibly resolve and they're very resourceful. And risking his life each step of the way, he ended up baking two matzahs, one for him and one for the boy. On the way back to the barracks, night of the Seder, so there's no way to hide a matzah. What are you, we can put it in a bag? And what did he do? See, he probably had it under his shirt. And he was trying to make sure that it doesn't fall, so he probably had his arm pressed up against the matzahs, against his body, and there was a Nazi guard who saw him and said, "Jew, hands up!" So he had no choice, put his hands up, and the matzahs came falling to the ground, breaking into pieces. The Nazi realized what was going on over here and furiously beat him, came out to death. Whatever it was, something else caught the Nazi guard's attention, and he left the Jew broken and bleeding on the floor. The Hungarian Yid picked himself up, picked up whatever crumbs he could of the matzahs, and managed to get back to the bunk, to the barracks, passing out, collapsing when he got there. So his friend, this boy from Tzadikim, so he helped him stop the bleeding, whatever he could. He got him into their bed. So the Hungarian Yid told him everything that had happened. He said, "I'm really sorry, but all that's left is this kezias. It's not enough for both of us. I'm sorry. I apologize." So the boy realized he wasn't going to get the matzah. He started begging with him. "Please, I'll do anything. I'll give you anything. I'll do anything. Just let me have the kezias of those crumbs. Let me have the kezias of matzah." Hungarian Jew, after all of his mesiras nefesh, was not about to give this away. So the boy says, "Come on, my entire family has been killed." And the Hungarian Yid says, "Yeah, so is mine." The Yid says, I know halal bal peh. I know shira shirim bal peh. I'll say it for you. Just let me eat the matzah." And the Hungarian Yid did not want to let go of this mitzvah. Finally, the boy cries out. He says, "I tell you what. You'll get the schar. You'll get the schar ha-mitzvah. Just let me eat the matzah." So the Hungarian Yid just couldn't. He gave in. He says, "Okay, I'll get the schar. You eat the matzahs." And they went to the Seder. The next morning, they went out to work. And the boy that was the descendant of Tzadikim was so overcome with emotions from everything that he'd been through and saying halal at work in Auschwitz, he said the bracha, he sang the bracha. The Nazi guard heard him, and as he finished the bracha, he sang the bracha, "Sher kitshanu b'mitzvaysav," so the Nazi shot him in the head, dead. The Hungarian Yid survived the war. And eventually, these 30 years after the war was over, he came to Rav Unger and said, "I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw this shining countenance like a malach. With my bunkmate who had been murdered by the Nazis. And he came to me in a dream and he said, 'I've gotten schar for every mitzvah that I've done my entire life. I'm only missing the schar of one mitzvah, of eating matzah that night in Auschwitz. Please, please give me back the schar for that mitzvah.'" And he woke up. He didn't know what to do. So he came to Rav Unger and he says, Do I have to give him back the schar ha-mitzvah? That precious mitzvah, I risked my life for it." Rav Unger said, This is not a shaila for a Rav. This is a question for a Rebbe." So he sent him to a Rebbe in Bnei Brak, and he told him the whole story. And he said to the Rebbe, "What should I do?" The Rebbe thinks, the Rebbe strokes his beard, and he says, "You should give him back the schar. Your friend couldn't do mitzvahs after that. You lived on many years. You were able to do many more mitzvahs. Mirtz Hashem, you'll do many more at Me'ev Esrim. You should give him back the mitzvah." So Hungarian said to the Rebbe, okay, that's what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe says, "No, not if that's what the Rebbe says. You have to do it b'simcha. You have to be able to give it back to him b'simcha. Go to the Beis Medrash, open the Aron Kodesh, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remind the HaKadosh Baruch Hu everything that happened, and b'simcha, give the schar back to your friend." And that's what he did. He poured out his heart, he brought himself to simcha, and he returned the schar ha-mitzvah to his friend who had died al Kiddush Hashem. He went home, fell asleep, drained from everything that he had been through that day. And sure enough, in the middle of the night, his friend appears to him again in a dream to thank him for giving him back the Schar HaMitzvah from that night 30 years before. The next day, the Hungarian Yid comes back to Rav Unger and told him what the Rebbe told him, what happened, his dream. And Rav Unger said he wasn't surprised. Imagine, this Yid, child of Tzaddikim, surely grew up doing mitzvahs his entire life, was enjoying the highest place that could be in Gan Eden. Of course, Chazal say, if a person is killed, I'll be Kiddush Hashem. Nothing is greater than that. No one reaches levels higher than that. But with all that, despite all of that, he came away, he left Gan Eden. He came all the way down to this world to come back to you in a dream, to pick up the schar of a few crumbs of matzah. How precious the mitzvahs are. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the leftovers, the crumbs of matzah, they wrapped up and they held it on their shoulders. They carried it close to their hearts to put it on the donkey. Chas v'shalom. These are my matzah crumbs. These are the leftovers of my matzah. Chavivus ha-mitzvah. Chavivus ha-mitzvah. How precious every mitzvah is. How precious the crumbs of matzah were to Klal Yisrael the night they left Mitzrayim.